His way. We walk His way. We walk His way.
The naughty faces, voices of demons and death. We walk
His way. We walk His way.
The naughty faces, voices of demons and death.
We walk His way. Walk His ways, we walk His way. We walk His way, we walk His way. We walk His way, we walk His way. We walk His way, we walk His way.
He breaks the bonds of hell, dying on the cross. We walk His way.
We walk His way. We walk His way. We walk His way. We walk His way. We walk His way. We walk His way. We walk His way.
The tree of
freedom blooms by His empty grave. We walk His way. We walk His way.
The tree of
freedom blooms by His empty grave. We walk His way.
Amen. Happy Easter. The Lord is risen. Yes, you can say it. You can say it. He is risen indeed. It's a blessing. Thank you for your presence here this morning on this Easter Sunday. And we are blessed by the choir, which blesses us twice a year, Christmas and Easter, for the special music today and all the extra effort they have put into it. Warm welcome to any guests or visitors who are here for the first time. I'd love the privilege of meeting you after the service. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge that you came in on, and there'll be someone there to greet you and answer any questions you may have about the church. Just a couple announcements for all of us. I want to thank everyone who participated in the Easter Vigil prayer. It was very meaningful to see so many of the slots signed up for and holding that sacred space in the silence. Thank you very much, everyone, for that. This coming Saturday, we have a work day, which is a way for you to serve your church in this campus. And I encourage you to call the church. Let us know if you're coming. That will be a blessing to us. But that is a very important opportunity we have to care for the campus. Next Sunday, after service, immediately following the service, will be our annual congregational meeting. And I encourage you, if you're a member or a regular participant, to partake in that conversation to hear an update from the board on our vision process and our reflections on the past year. We have a yoga class and a baptism class that are occurring. I encourage you to look at the new bulletin to see opportunities for other ways of growing spiritually. We are not having the brunch following service today due to the Easter holiday. And then one final announcement for all of us, especially parents with children. For 9 to 18-year-olds, the communion baptism class begins next Sunday and runs for 6 weeks. That class occurs during the 10:30 to 11:30 hour. Please call the church office or contact Deborah Hale if that pertains to you. Children 9 to 18 years old for the communion baptism class. It's a blessing for your presence to be here to me. Thank you for honoring us with your presence and wish to experience the love of God more deeply in your life on this Easter Sunday. Wherever you might be on your journey, I trust that you do feel something from this service and the meaningfulness of this sanctuary. Let's take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us in worship today and bless those sitting beside you and those all around the world that our service would bear spiritual fruit of love. Amen.
Please stand and join hands for the gospel in one word.
We do feel your love, Almighty Living God, in this room right now, and we recognize that the touch of each other's hands connects us at a very deep level that we get to enter into when we surrender more and be raised up into who we truly are, love, what we truly are. And we're thankful that we are gathered here this morning on this day of celebration for hope, for something more than just death and life on this planet. That there is something possible for each of us to be more than we are, to become a destiny of love and wisdom and consciousness and goodness and patience and kindness. And we ask that you would touch each of us and crown this service with these qualities and send us home changed, transformed, that this community of ours, that this town of ours, that this country of ours, that this world of ours would in some way feel the quality of our intention. We ask this as an aim in your most holy threefold name, our family name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, and immanent indwelling Holy Spirit. And all God's people said in Easter, Amen. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
It's an idle tale told by women. It was the women who understood. And I was talking to my mom last night. My mom is coming to visit. And sometimes our mothers have wisdom to share. I was telling her about sitting underneath that amazing Passover moon. Anyone see it on Friday? Wasn't that extraordinary? So silky and golden as it rose. And I was so deeply blessed by that Passover moon on Good Friday. I was sitting outside and I just killed a mosquito. I was killing the mosquitoes, you know. I was looking at that mosquito going, well, what about a resurrection after this death? And then I thought I saw it move, but then there was another mosquito. So it's a kind of resurrection of a class. You kill one mosquito and another mosquito comes back. It's a resurrection of the class. Can't kill them all. My mom said, you know, Peter, there's not a single mosquito in Wisconsin. And she said, yeah, they're all married with kids. Yeah, he's not in the tomb. He's risen. It's just like that. You laughed because it's funny, because it's a twist, right? Not a single mosquito in Wisconsin. Oh, now you get, he's not in the tomb. He's risen. The wisdom of women. And it's a big deal. Half of you won't be here next Sunday. Because he's not in the tomb, he's risen. And this resonates in our culture down to this very moment. There's something about Easter that we want to be true. And we talked a little bit about death on Good Friday, and I want to just come back to that, because the principle that we talked about on Good Friday was that death changes us forever. And we can all agree to that. And sitting in this room, if you just took a moment to just quickly remember the people you have loved that have died, perhaps you've come up to the edge of death. And so death changes us forever. You don't have to think about it. You can feel it. And death is something that we all deal with. And religions deal with death in different ways. So just really briefly, since I've got you, there's realism. You're born, you live, you die. It's kind of a resignation. You're born, you live, you die. Eat, drink, and be merry. There's nothing we can do about it. That's one view. Another very common view that people deal with the problem with death and the way of suffering on this planet is reincarnation, or what I call the redo. You're born, you live, and then you die. And then you get a redo. You get to come back based on your karma, what you did in this life. That's reincarnation. It's a very, very significant view of how people deal with death. And then there's this other view, this strange view that we are here for in some level because of. We're born, we live, we die, and we rise. Now, on the historical level, this is what Jesus Christ demonstrated. Do you believe it? Do you think it's true up here? Maybe in third grade you did. But right here, right now, do you really think a dead guy rose from the dead? It's tough for us rational Western people. But how do you explain this? And what if it's true? What if the power of life was indeed stronger, more forceful, more compelling, more drawing forth from beyond and above, that death couldn't be held, that Jesus couldn't be held in that death? What if it did happen, and that not just resignation, not just redo, reincarnation, but what if resurrection did happen? Wouldn't that be something like a little bit of a first fruit in the springtime? Though the tree isn't full of fruit, there's one little fruit there announcing something that is possible. I love how Bernadette Roberts, who's a teacher that has influenced this community a lot, she's a mystic too. She wasn't just talking about things theologically, she experienced them. So it's sometimes hard for us to understand. But she said resurrection happens instantly when we die. Oh, and I like that. Because I was trained and taught that resurrection is some way out in the future, and that all of us are going to be raised from the dead sort of thing. So the Hollywood movie thing. But I like this idea that when we die, something of our body, the spiritual body, rises instantly. Something to ponder today. It's another idea to put into the pot of how we deal with death. And you might just think about that. Death changes us forever. And Jesus' death and resurrection also has changed us forever. Only Christ knows what the resurrection is, really. Only Christ could have known what he was experiencing. Even the women who understood it so intuitively at first, even Peter, who was so impulsive and loved the Lord so much, and probably was guilt-ridden for forsaking him the night before or so. Even they, the closest ones, couldn't get what the resurrection was. And we're not going to get it either. Only Christ really understood and understands what the resurrection is. This is the only one who's ever experienced it, this side, as far as we know. So it's a great mystery that we can ponder and feel into. So that's the one side of today, the resurrection, that death affects us all forever. And the other point I just want to leave us with is that life is for the living. Life is for the living. I remember I was on a retreat, just a private retreat, in the solitude and silence down at Leb Shimei, and I was really struggling. I was reading Bernadette Roberts. I was struggling with the spiritual journey, and I felt really down-spirited and depressed. And I went for a walk, and they have a cemetery there. They call it the Cowboy Cemetery, where all the ranch workers are buried. Not the family who owned the place, but the worker bees, the guys and the women who made the place run. And I started walking on the cemetery, and I realized I'm walking on their graves. And there was something about that moment that lifted my spirit, interestingly enough. And I realized, Peter, there's plenty of time in the future to die. Live. This is the time to live. And it turned this frown into a smile and put joy in my heart and reminded me that the spiritual journey is for living. Life is for living. And so just, we have, for those of you who are visiting today, during the season of Lent, we've been hearing this notion of the Lenten arising, that during Lent, things have been coming up out of the shadows of ourself. We've been wanting to see stuff about ourself that needs to be healed. And we've been sharing some of these things, and I've been sharing some of these things. What is in us that is keeping us from the joy and the freedom of love and the goodness and the wisdom? What is in us that is keeping us in the shadows of shame and anger and frustration and difficulty and all the weights that weigh us down, so to speak, and keep us recurring in our problems and in our suffering? And we've been courageous in saying, show me, arise in me, and let me see that in me that needs to be healed. And I know it has been a fruitful Lent for you. I know that. It's been a fruitful Lent for me. But here's the thing. There's the Lenten arising. There's the rising. But here's the thing. We do rise. We get risen. We get risen. We get raised. And we're not always rising. The shadow isn't always there. The light comes and raises us. And it changes us. How does the raising happen? When are you raised? Well, here's a practical example. When you start to belly laugh, that's a resurrection. You've been raised. When tears come because you see something so clearly about yourself, that's a resurrection. You've been raised. When you start to melt in your heart and feel love and tenderness toward someone you have had a hard time liking or even forgiving, you've been raised. That's a resurrection. When your eyes see someone in a completely new way, instead of just a homeless person or someone you don't like or someone you judge, and you see them in a new way, that's a resurrection. You've been raised. When your thoughts all of a sudden downshift from anxiety or panic and get into the belly and you feel peace, you've been raised. Resurrection is always happening. The problem is that we're down in the shadow and in the constriction and in the fear and in the trying to figure ourselves out that we oftentimes miss the grace that's there all the time lifting us up. Spiritual practices aid us. This is why we keep coming back to them, because they aid us in being raised. And prayer, the meditative prayer, is how we are raised. It does so much of the raising for us, little by little. The work of inner Christianity, which we practice every Thursday night as a community, is how I participate in my being raised. It's much more active than the passive centering prayer practice. In the work of inner Christianity, I actually am consciously trying to help myself be raised. I struggle with the things I work with. I struggle against my own false self that wants to do the thing it always does or react the way it always reacts. And so I'm helping in my resurrection. And then the meditative prayer, it does it all. It does it all. I am being raised in the silence, and you are being raised in the silence. And it's such a beautiful thing to see. So, we live in a world, in a historical moment, where no one else can take responsibility for the lack of resurrection occurring than me and you. We can't go to someone else and say, "You're the reason why we're not experiencing more resurrection on this planet. You're the reason why consciousness isn't rising from fear to equanimity and to collaboration." We can't go anywhere else and blame. That game only gets us deeper into the muck. The invitation on Easter Sunday is to take the reality of the spectrum of consciousness seriously, that there is a quality of consciousness that is possible for us to be raised into from above, to be born again from above. And this is where we have to take it very seriously. Because I have you for a second. Where in your life are you stuck in the rut? Where is God saying, "Rise from the dead, sleeper, awake"? Don't continue in that rut of anger or fear or lust or jealousy or reactivity. And boy, it gets real up close and personal. And if we don't despair when we see what we see, we can be freed from what we need to be freed of. And that is the grace of God's healing power. So we've got an example landed in history of the guiltless one, the innocent one, who took all the charges and transformed it into love and forgiveness and tears and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." They're at that low level of consciousness where they need to blame someone to feel better about themselves. They're at that low level of consciousness where fear wins out with violence. And it's a old story. But Jesus, in the course of history, lands the pattern for us. Will you die to the thing that needs to die in you and trust God to raise you up from it Hey, that's an extraordinary message, not in history, but in reality, in our day-to-day life. And that's the opportunity. That's why spirituality isn't just liturgy or church. That's why this is a living community. These ideas aren't just in a book long ago recorded to be made into a Christian museum about Jesus. This is about how I get my freedom back. This is how I become more loving when everything in me doesn't want to love. This is how I change from one degree of darkness to a degree of light and glory that ain't mine. That's Christ in me. And that's why the Christian message that I love, it comes from St. Paul, recaptured, rearticulated by people like Father Thomas Keating and Bernadette, is it's no longer I, Peter, who live, but it's Christ, the raised one in me, that lives. And thus, I can become a new man, a new person, and so can you. Not on your own, not on my own, with the aid of ideas, with the aid of a community, with the aid of moments like this, where you ponder the fact that maybe, just maybe, humanity is the class that God is trying to raise. And one mosquito might get taken down, but the class keeps coming back. It takes a lot of us to birth the new human. Just ponder that for a second. The class of being human is being raised. Are you in? That's what today is about, friends. That's what resurrection means for me. And perhaps in a world where the edge looks like death, we can live a lot more like life in the meantime. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
We're singing Never, Never Die.
Never, never, we will never die. Never, never, we will never die. We are love, we are love. Love lives forever. Never, never, we will never die. Never, never, we will never die. We are love, we are love. Love lives forever. Never, never, we will never die. Never die.
Amen. This is the time in our service where we take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands, and we remember and declare the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth over our lives together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. With total gratitude for your provision and faithfulness to each of us, and for those who are recovering from sickness and difficulty and disaster, we remember their provision and wish for them the fullness of life. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet, over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen.
The choir will be singing a piece called All Things New. Just wanted to read the text since it's in English. Sorrow lingers in the garden, willows weeping wet with dew. But in the breeze of whispered promise, I am making all things new. Let the gentle hand of morning brush your eyes that you may see mercies new and never ceasing into all eternity. As it was in the beginning, in the end, so shall it be. Through the cross, a new creation, Christ has won the victory. Step by faith into the promise, bow the knee with voices raised, singing holy, holy, holy in an endless song of praise. Alleluia.
Oh,
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
This is the table of resurrection, and we partake in being lifted up into Christ, as Christ, with Christ, for Christ. It is a profound gift that we get to partake in as a family in this moment together. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ.
You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. You alone can satisfy our alone can satisfy our hunger.
Thank you.
living and resurrected Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song. Thank you for your presence here on this Easter Sunday morning to be a part of this community of faith being raised into love. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is each with each of us until we meet again. Amen. Amen.